Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, as we're all aware, Micheál Martin is in the United States this week, and tomorrow is the big day when he goes into the Oval Office to meet President Trump and hopefully come out the other side unscathed. Well, one person with first-hand experience of dealing with Donald Trump in the White House is Katrina Perry, formerly of RTE, of course, and now chief presenter with BBC News based in Washington. And Katrina is on the line now. Katrina, lovely to talk to you.
You too, Claire. Yeah, nice to talk to you.
Great to have you with us. What's your own sense of how the Donald Trump side and his administration might perceive this visit to the White House by Micheál Martin?
Well, all the soundings that we're getting from the Trump administration is he'll approach this meeting in terms of, you know, how Ireland treats the US. And we hear so much about trade surpluses and trade deficits. And President Trump, with all of the world leaders who've come in to meet him in the last 2 months that he's been in office, 51 days, I think, is the ticker at this point. It's all been about their trade with his nation, what he's calling transactional diplomacy, which is kind of what can you do for me? What can you do for America? Of course, all on that brand of America first. So the way that the Trump administration looks at Ireland is that Ireland has a trade surplus, or the US has a trade deficit with Ireland of about €80 billion, $87 billion a year. And that's a figure that he is very unhappy with. Now, if you factor in the service industry, the balance, the position is a lot more balanced. But mm-hmm. the Trump administration is looking at goods at this point.
So he's not buying that argument that we know the government has been pushing on the totality of services and goods. I mean, that's the line that we want him to see. But what you're saying is the one that's in bold, highlighted on his documents in front of him, will be for goods. And he will see a deficit from his point of view of $80 billion. That's what we're going to hear from him, you expect.
Yeah, that's all the rumblings from the Trump administration. And he likes statistics and he likes numbers. And Ireland is number four on, you know, the kind of naughty list, if you like, in terms of the trade deficit. Now, it's up to the Taoiseach and the diplomats who are pushing this hard, as you've said, to kind of come in with that other headline of, oh, things are very balanced. And this is how you should approach it. You should factor in the service trade as well because of, you know, how many American companies are in Ireland but funneling billions of dollars back to the US. There are statistics that he will like to hear. He'll also like to hear about all the great Irish companies that are in America employing Irish or employing American people in Irish companies. That's a big selling point for mm-hmm. Ireland as well.
And listen, our ears all pricked up last week when he was signing the order for Heritage Month, for Irish American Heritage Month. And he said the Irish American vote supported him. He said they voted for me in heavy numbers. Now, even though he referenced that, it's clearly important to him. But how important in general terms, Katrina, is that cohort now in 2025 compared to previously?
I would say they've been as important as they always have been. The Irish vote, if you want to call that, over here, you know, it's not a monolith. It's not all Irish Americans vote for the Democratic Party, or now they've switched to all Irish Americans voting for the Republican Party. For the last number of years, it's been very split between two parties. You know, it's kind of a thing that happens with immigrant communities. They often start voting for the Democratic Party because the issues they have when they first arrive in America align, say, with the Democratic Party. And then as they become wealthier, they move out of cities into the suburbs, and they're more interested in taxation and government and education for children and what's happening, or pension fund. The vote tends to switch to the Republican Party. And we've seen that happen with the Latino community. It's happened with the Irish community. It's happened with many immigrant communities. And it's also a lot of the Irish Americans who are in the middle of this country, in those kind of Midwestern regions, you know, those swing states, a lot of them would favour the Republican Party as well, and but have done for some time. And, you know, President Trump has a lot of Irish Americans in his circle this time, not as many as he had the last time. But, you know, again, that's probably something that the Taoiseach will mention as well. You know, oh, a lot of our people do do support you. But that is the way it has been for some time here.
Just more generally, Katrina, looking at what has happened over the last 51 days, a lot of conventions have been turned on their heads. A lot of people have lost their jobs with Elon Musk's efforts to save money. There seems to be, though, from our perspective, and you might tell us whether I'm right here, very limited pushback against Donald Trump and the measures that he's taking. What is it like there on the ground?
It's very fast and furious. tell that. From my seat in particular, the news agenda just changes a million times a day, it feels like. But, you know, Donald Trump is the president. He has the authority to do quite a bit of what he's doing. Now, we are seeing legal actions taken against some of the moves. The issue around Elon Musk is, of course, that he himself was not elected, and unlike the members of cabinet who are also not elected, but they do go through the Senate, they go through a confirmation process, which Elon Musk has not done. And that is particularly annoying the Democratic Party and many others as well, and indeed some in the Republican Party, we have to say too. But the way that President Trump and his team would tell you is, well, you know, people voted for President Trump. They knew Elon Musk was a close supporter of his. And they knew that a big part of what they planned to do was to completely kind of strip back the federal government, strip back the civil service. But in a practical level, in Washington, D.C., where I live, you know, tens of thousands of people are losing their jobs in Washington and Maryland and Virginia, the surrounding area. House prices are really falling quite rapidly. This is the biggest listing of houses for sale in the city in the last month or so, because people are just losing their jobs. They can't afford their mortgages, or there's no reason for them to live in Washington, D.C. But the firing of federal workers and the reduction in the federal government doesn't just impact the people who live in, you know, the swamp, as President Trump would call it. Those people live right across America. There are federal workers in every city, in every state. And a lot of people who voted for Donald Trump are also losing their jobs as these agencies are reduced in size. A lot of veterans are losing their jobs. When you get rid of DEI programs, a lot of those cater for veterans who come back from serving America and the military, and then they get federal jobs. And federal jobs are seen as really good, solid jobs in this country. It's something to aspire to. You know, there's a road to run there. How long it is anyone's guess at this point. But the Democratic Party for now seem to be sitting back and seeing what the Republicans will kind of do to themselves, as they would see it. And then their approach is, well, we'll be ready to step in from the wings at that point.
It's extraordinary to hear you talk about, you know, falling house prices and more houses on the market in that general area. And you just wonder how much political capital Donald Trump has to withstand a potential recession. We're going to be hearing about the markets in just a moment. He himself has warned about this. But, you know, does he have enough support behind him to be able to survive the inevitable, you would imagine, pushback that's coming?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as it stands, he's not up for re-election, so he doesn't really need to worry about that. The people who need to worry about it are the members of Congress, the Republican Party, who'll be up for re-election in less than 2 years as it is now. So the ones that need to worry about, you know, what this means in their constituencies. But yeah, refusing to rule out a recession like that. US consumer sentiment is at a 7-month low. Unemployment figures ticked up a little bit in the last month, and that was not even taking account of all those federal workers who've been laid off, and then the markets tanking yesterday. Donald Trump got elected largely on turning around the economy in this country, reducing the cost of living, and prices are not coming down in the grocery stores. Things are not getting more affordable. So people that I've been speaking to who voted for him are kind of like, oh, well, we'll give him a chance, and we know these things take time. But it's at what point that there's sizable pushback, perhaps in the form of protests, in the form of how much pressure Congress people can withstand in their home communities before they start pushing back against him from within the Republican Party. Because they're the ones here with the majority on Capitol Hill who, you know, kind of have the louder voice, if you like, on this occasion. It's not the Democrats.
Katrina, we'll leave it there for now, but it's really great to talk to you. And thank you very much for doing that very early morning from your perspective chat about what's happening in the United States. Katrina Perry, chief presenter with BBC News, who's based in Washington. We want to take a closer impact now at the impact that Donald Trump's tariffs and threatened tariffs are having on the stock market. I'm joined by Danny Hewson, head of financial analysis at AJ Bell. Danny, thank you for being with us this morning. So the S&P 500, we know, suffered its worst day of the year yesterday. What have you seen in the markets that are open so far today?
So far today, we've seen Asian markets playing catch up. Obviously, they'd closed by the time we saw the rout over on Wall Street. We are seeing a bit of a pullback in terms of European markets this morning. So we're looking as well at US futures. They look set to have recovered a bit. But there's a lot of commentary about the fact normally post a big sell-off like the one we saw yesterday, you're talking about $4 trillion wiped off the S&P's peak from the previous month. So, I mean, this is a substantial decline, 2.7% down on the day. And a lot of people at this point we'd normally see doing something called buying the dip. So investors have usually a list of shares that they're interested in. They wait until those shares hit a certain level, they fall in value, and then they gobble them up. But investors in the United States and globally are really wary about where the US economy is headed following Donald Trump's comments on Sunday, in which he said, "We're bringing wealth back to America. That's a big thing. And there are always periods of dot, 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 insert word here. It takes a little time," which really rattled investors who'd thought that Donald Trump in the past has really used markets as a bit of a scorecard. Now it seems he is hyper aware that the US consumer, the US economy could be in for a period of pain. But as long as he ends with long-term gain, at the moment, it looks like he's okay with that.
So it would seem then, despite all the promises that he made during the campaign, threatening tariffs at that point and since, that the markets didn't really buy into that narrative until very recently, Danny. Now they're saying he's serious about this and it's going to have a real-world impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Markets viewed Donald Trump from their experience with him in his last administration as a president who was absolutely transactional, but one who looked at the way that the markets performed and used that as a bit of a scorecard to see how he was doing. Now it seems he's far more focused on Market Street than the markets. So how the average person is feeling, and although he is expecting that those tariffs are going to push prices up in the short term, what he's saying is that bringing new investment, new jobs to the United States, narrowing that trade deficit will mean in the long term, people will feel richer. So I think investors really just thought that when he was talking about tariffs, that he would be a lot more thoughtful in how he was implementing those tariffs, whereas at the moment we've seen really quite a chaotic unraveling. At one moment they're on, one moment they're off, and there's certainly a lot of volatility.
Danny, thank you for being with us. Danny Hewson there from AJ Bell. Well, coming up later on, e-scooters are everywhere, but has the legislation brought in to regulate them worked? Brian O'Connell reports. But after the break, the hugely successful podcast about the British Empire takes on the story of Ireland, from the Normans to the present day, and the hosts of Empire join us next.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.